Last week we began this little mini-series that we're calling Our Journey of Generosity. As a church, we're on that journey, but individually we are on that journey as well. If you've missed it, all our services are available both on YouTube. You can type in St. Peter's, West Blatchington, but also we have a podcast of the sermons as well. So if you listen to podcasts on anything, Spotify, Apple Music, something like that, type St. Peter's, West Blatchington, you can subscribe. And any time a new talk is recorded, it can go out on that. So do listen to last week. As we're reflecting on God's generosity to us, that's where we're starting, that's where we must begin. God's generosity to us, his kindness to us, his overwhelming love and wonderfulness to us, and how that shapes us as a people, turns us as well into a generous people. So last week we were thinking about the generosity of God in creation, in making us and making everything, but also in redemption, in saving us, giving us eternal life through Jesus. And that showed us that we don't need to worry about our life, and how that was such good news for us who struggle with anxiety, particularly related to our finances. We don't need to worry because God is there providing for us all the time. And I encouraged you, and please do continue, to use these weeks to dwell on how God has been generous to you in your life, the things that God has been generous to you with. But this week we're thinking about how do we begin to respond to God's generosity. Well, the Bible readings that we've just heard show us that our own generosity should be a reflection of our trust in God's generosity. Our generosity should be a reflection of our trust in God's generosity, but at the same time, it's also a way of participating in the way that God wants to bless others. Okay? So what we're going to think about today is the attitude that we have to generosity. This is a really important part of understanding. So the first bit is the danger of having the wrong attitudes to giving. Okay? So we are going to have a look at our first reading from Malachi. Malachi was writing several hundred years before Jesus was born. He's what you call an Old Testament prophet. And he had some words, some hard words for the people to hear. And let's have a look at what he says in verse 8. He said, "Will anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings." Now, some words that we don't use in every day. A tithe is this idea of putting 10% aside of your income and then giving that away. 10% of your income that you give away. And that had a very specific job in Malachi's day. This was to support the work of the priests and the temple and all the worships and offerings that happened, but also to support the poor as well. There was no sort of governmental protection for people who were poor. That was down to the people. They gave 10% of what they had so that that money could be used to support the poor. People were expecting God's help. In Malachi's day, they wanted God to be there for him, to help him, but they weren't prepared to show any generosity themselves. That's what the problem. And that's why Malachi is saying, is you're robbing God. You're stealing from God Almighty. Sounds incredible. How could anyone steal from God? Well, everything belongs to God. He's the creator after all. And withholding what belongs to him is what Malachi is saying. That's like robbing him. In fact, these are God's words. You're robbing me, God is saying, because everything belongs to me, and by failing to be generous, it's like you are just happy to take stuff from me, but not willing to ever give. I once heard someone say, talking about tithing, God doesn't ask for everything back. Sometimes people think, well, giving 10%, that sounds like quite a lot. The other way you might look at it is God wants you to keep 90% of everything you earn, and then 10% can be used for others. And that can be a helpful framework when we're thinking about our own journey of generosity and how much we want to give away 10%. That might be a helpful framework. It's going to look different for different people. But it can be a good idea to work out how much you are willing to give away. And we see that this is an important thing. This isn't just to do with, well, how generous I should be or not. Malachi is making clear there are spiritual consequences to how we think about giving, our attitude. Look at what he says in verse 9. He said, "You are cursed with a curse." If you remember the first Mummy film, there's that guy going around the whole time saying, "It's cursed, it's cursed." But this is what he's saying here. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. This is God speaking. He's saying failing to be generous actually has consequences. Now, God's generosity, his blessing involves providing for us, giving food and to know him and to have his peace and his help. But to be cursed means to miss out on those things. For the nation, that meant that they would go without food, because if they're going to fail to be generous, well, God's going to be like that too. It's like with a parent and a child. When a child just thinks they can behave however they want, it's important for that child to know there are consequences to bad behavior. And that's what God is talking about with his people. There are consequences to you being stingy, to being greedy. It's not going to work out well for you, God says. Because I'm the one who's giving you everything everyway, but if that's how you're going to act, I'm going to withhold those things. The people needed correcting, the correction of a loving parent. But notice at any moment, God is ready to change things very quickly. Look at verse 10. He says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. You're talking about God's house. And thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. Do you see, at just a moment's notice, God is ready to turn things around as soon as they recognize the error of their ways and repent. Despite how these people were robbing God, God is saying, I'm willing for you to test me. Turn back to me and see the kind of God I am. See how generous I will be with the little bit of generosity that you're willing to offer. Now, this shows that there's a danger here, isn't there? The big danger that we face when we think about our money or our possessions, that it's all mine. I've worked hard for it. And yeah, many of you have worked hard. But that doesn't mean it's all yours. Eventually, it's all God's. God's given you life. He's given you skill, abilities, opportunities, all these things. So ultimately, everything belongs to God. Your money, your health, your job, your family, even your life, is a gift from a generous God. So if you remember all those things are gifts from a generous God, that's going to mean that you can trust him, that he will continue to provide for you when you are showing generosity. It's a different way of thinking, but it's a liberating way of approaching generosity. So that's the wrong way. What's the right way then? What's the right attitude look like? Well, we get this the story from our gospel reading. And Jesus and his disciple, they're outside the temple, and people are coming along with all these, you can imagine, these great big bags full of money. And they're making a great big show of it. Here's the big container, and they're pouring all these bags in. Time after, oh yeah, look, this is so heavy, you know. Pouring it in. Everyone's going, wow, they're giving so much money. That's amazing. And there's this widow who comes along, and quietly, all she's got these two tiny little copper coins, and she drops them in. They barely make a sound. They don't make any impact, do they? Not when everyone else is pouring in so much. But listen to what Jesus says about what's happened here. Verse 44. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. It was easy. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Just dwell on that for a moment, please. She gave all she had to live on. Those two little coins. She demonstrated a sacrifice, didn't she? This wholehearted giving. She didn't hold everything back. She didn't even just give one copper coin and say, well, hold on to the other one. That might come in useful. Put everything in, trusting everything to God. She gave all she had. That was her sacrifice. And we don't know what happened afterwards, do we? Did someone take pity on her? Did someone help her? Now, that money that went into the treasury should have actually been used to make sure that she was fed and looked after. And we read in the book of Acts how there were problems and people were getting hungry. And one of the things that happened is the people who started becoming Christians were no longer receiving the food and the financial support and help. So the church had to stand up and say, we're going to help our own, going to make sure they are fed. But she should have been looked after. Was she? Wasn't she not? Well, we don't know. We know that, just like in today, that there is corruption. But that treasury should have provided for her needs. She gave in all that she had, but those other people should have been supporting her too. Jesus says just before this in verse 43. He called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury." Now, we know Jesus is wrong here because she's only put in two coins and they've put in thousands of coins, but he means something else, doesn't he? Unlike the rich who gave large sums out of their wealth, it barely made a dent. The widow gave quietly and humbly and totally. And this shows us that giving should be done with a sincere and humble heart. We don't do it for show or recognition, but quietly and sacrificially. Stuart Townend, who's the Brighton-based songwriter who wrote, amongst other things, the hymn In Christ Alone, one of our favourites, he wrote this in one of his songs about this. "It's what you keep, not what you give, is what the Lord is counting." I remember hearing that for the first time. I find that so challenging. It's what you keep, not what you give, is what the Lord is counting. That goes true for money, but that goes true for our whole life, doesn't it? Jesus is showing us that God values the faith and devotion behind the gift more than its monetary value. Now, as I said, next week we're going to bring back our pledges, if you haven't done already, and we're hopeful that over the next few years we will be becoming a church that is self-sufficient, and we can look at spreadsheets and plot how we're doing and budget accordingly, all that kind of stuff. We can track that on paper, but what we can't track is our own attitudes to giving. That's between you and between God. But I hope what we're seeing today is what a right attitude looks like of that woman giving what she had, trusting God with the consequences. So how can we get the right attitude? Well, firstly, we need to give generously and cheerfully. Look at our 2 Corinthians reading, verse 7. "Each of you must give as you have made up your own mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." So this passage encourages us to give generously, reminding that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. You get out what you're prepared to give in. But it's showing how we should do it. We should do it willingly and joyfully, not reluctantly or under compulsion. We want to reflect hearts that are full of gratitude. If you feel really miserable every time that you give, something isn't right. You need to think about why that is and maybe just go back to reflect on God's generosity and these other things too. But we need to make up our mind. We need to think about it, plan it. That's why planning out monthly giving is quite helpful, to be able to think about how much we can give, how much we can afford, and have that as something that we revisit. The second thing is we're to trust God's provision. Verse 8, "God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work." So God wants us and will make sure that we all have enough, and because of that, we can share. We don't need to hold on to it, think, "Well, I'm just going to hold on to a few more bits, thank you very much." You see, this shows us the right attitude to giving is rooted in faith that God is going to provide for us. And in fact, this passage promises that, doesn't it? That God will supply and increase the resources of those who give, ensuring that they have enough to continue doing good. But we also see that giving is a blessing to others. I think this is one of the things that we don't often think about. It's where I've been really challenged this week, how giving is a blessing to others. Verse 12. Paul talks about the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, he's talking about the people here on earth, other believers, it supplies for their needs, but it also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. So giving is not only about personal blessing, so feeling good because I've given, that makes me feel good, but it's also about blessing others, making others feel good too. This shows us that generosity is going to lead to thanksgiving to God from those who are helped. So when we help someone, they're going to want to praise God. Thank you so much. I remember when I was younger and my family going through a really hard time, and the church we were at showed incredible generosity to us. And still to this day, that makes just such a wonderful image in my mind of just how generous people were to us to help us through a really difficult patch. That leads to my thanksgiving for them and for their generosity. And that's what can happen as well. I just want to finish with a story just to bring this to a close. I was taking a funeral this week at another church. of a lovely Christian lady, and there were quite a few testimonies about her life. And they started with how she met her husband, and they were both children at a Sunday school. This was back in the 1940s, I think. And she met her husband there, and they grew up together. They were both believers. They kept coming back to church. They went to the young people's group. They got married. They got involved in the life of the church. Their children were born, and their children became believers. And now the grandchildren are born. Some of the grandchildren are believers too. And you had these three generations all witnessing this amazing faith. And kind of it just all started with the fact that some people had got together to pay to make a Sunday school happen. And here we are nearly 100 years later, looking at these different generations of people who have been blessed by someone's generosity back in the 1940s. I was really impacted by that. So what about us here? What's our legacy going to be in 100 years' time? People pointing back to the Sunday school that you made possible through your generosity here at St. Peter's. Your great-great-grandchildren to stand up here one day and maybe doing what I'm doing. All because of people's generosity. That is a blessing to be part of, isn't it? What a wonderful thing. By giving away some of God's money for God to use, trusting him. So what is our legacy going to be at St. Peter's? I hope it will be there in 100 years' time. People were talking about the things that they've encountered here, made possible through your generosity. But we need to decide, don't we? That's up to us, whether that's going to happen or not, whether there's a church here in 100 years or not, and what our attitude is to giving back to God. And what I want us to do, particularly as we come forward for communion, to remember that Christ didn't just give a bit of himself or half of himself, he gave himself completely, fully, for each one of us, no holding back. Amen.